Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. Here we are about to have a good old time because we're getting spoilery, all right? You know, it's out on digital. Anyone can own it. So we're going to spoil all of this, just let you know before we get started. Because we gonna go from New York City all right on out to Gotham with your boys, Leo Raff, Mikey, Donnie, and your big boy Bruce in Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And before I even get into it, man, yo, this movie kind of delivers. I'm not gonna front. From the opening credits to like even the little opening sequence with Batgirl, there's just so much to have fun in. And I'm gonna pick out a couple of things that I really had a ball watching. And you know, we're gonna get, you know, a little conversation going on. You tell me what your favorite moments are, what was missed or what was lost from translation, what you wish was added. Let me know down there. So first thing I love is like I said, the opening credits, just taking that black and white feel, that kind of very noir look at Gotham and putting these two heroes together. I just thought it was a lot of fun. It was a nice touch that kind of got you in the mood, if you were. Oh man. I also like little touches like you had News 52. You had the Superman mug in the Batcave. I thought that was funny. Like there's like these nice little touches that I think they do in this that really drive it home at how much fun this crossover is and can be, you know what I'm saying? And the thing that I like here is once again, we have an animated film from DC that goes like a cut above. Cause you know, sometimes all of their animated movies are pretty solid. But there's solid where it's like around a 3, where it's like, hey, there's no rush to see it. Or there's solid where it's like, yo, man, this joint is like a 4.5, like a 5-star. You need to peep this. So, you know, you got like your, you know, Flashpoint Paradox. You got your like Death of Superman, Return of the Superman. But then you also got stuff that's a little more like, well, you can go on and let it ride if you want to. But this one is not that one. I love the prep scene with Batman and the Turtles. You know, they're getting their gear straight. They're putting their, you know, swords, and he's putting his belt on and getting his little, you know, his batarangs and stuff. And they got their throwing stars. Mikey's putting like his nunchucks and then a piece of pizza. There's, you know, you see how they both prepare for the night. And I think that's a lot of just fun attention to detail and just a cool way to provide a through line of how they both kind of approach bad guys. Now, I won't remark on the scene with Batgirl at the beginning too much because, you know, we got that scene on YouTube and we all saw it and it was pretty cool to see, you know, like her saving the scientists and all that good stuff. That's all right. But the Penguin scene. The Penguin scene for me works, man. You have, you know, they figure like, yo, we're gonna go out. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna go out and we're gonna stop whoever the Foot Clan's doing, all right? And just to have this sequence with the Penguin and his bad guys up against the Turtles and them trying to figure out who they are is just funny to me. I mean, them going back and forth outside of, I believe it was Wayne Tech, and then of course Batman going back and forth inside of Wayne Tech just is, it's action-packed. And that's one thing I'll say about this movie, it is action-packed. You get what you need, well, I'll say this. You get what you need from Batman. I'm not sure if you get everything you need from the Turtles, but I'll remark on that after the jump. You know, there's a lot of fun in this scene. And then on inside, you got Batman going up against the Foot, and it's like, yo, slam dunk, man. He's crushing the Foot left and right. But what's really dope here is him versus Shredder. That shines for me, yo. It does. I was like, oh, snap. Master Shredder, right? Up against your boy, Bruce. How's it going to fly? And you know what? Not mad at it. It's well choreographed And they do a great job of giving the scene time to breathe. Like, neither of them just are done super fast. So it's not like Batman is beat up quick. Shredder isn't beat up quick. They kind of like fight at different levels. They jump off stuff. You know, you get time to enjoy their head-to-head battle. And then you get to see Shredder throw a little, you know, finishing move on him. And I like that. I like that, you know, the first time Shredder gets the leg up on him. And I think that's really cool for this movie as a whole. Now, before I hit the jump, I did want to remark on the team up with Shredder and Ra's al Ghul. They make this team up make sense in this movie. They make it kind of like gel really well. You can see how Shredder wants, or Ra's has something that Shredder wants, you know, and you can see that he's on some like, dude, like y'all ain't nobody. League of Assassins doper than y'all. You know what I'm saying? I ain't tripping on you. You ain't nobody special to me. And I do dig how he carries it with just about everybody. I don't think Ra's really respects anybody on the low, but it was just cool to see how he carried it, where, like, you know, of course in Turtles, you know, Shredder is the guy. But, you know, you come into Gotham and Ra's just sons him the whole movie through. But real quick before the break, I will say Baxter Stockman, the voice acting, loved it. And the character design, loved it. And also, just the lines he gets are very funny throughout. I gotta give props to that. I really dug it and thought it was mad funny. Now, of course, we got stuff to get to after the break. And I'll tell you why I think that TMNT was kind of underserved just a little bit. But first, Cure Brand's gonna help us pay them bills. Yeah, check that link below. Hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. Now, we are here with your boy Nerd Soul Light. That's right, he loves the movie too. Well, a little bit, but we're gonna get into why I think the Turtles were underserved just a little bit. It seemed that too many times in this film that the Turtles were played for like a laugh. Now, I know, you know, Turtles in general are a more lighthearted team, right? You know what I'm saying? They're more lighthearted. He knows that. I know that. You know that. But I think here, they were played for either the comic relief or the butt of a lot of jokes. Even with the Bat family there, not saying that I expected to be hard-edged the whole time, but it seemed like when it came to scenes with the Turtles or interacting with the Turtles, whether they were alone or with the Bat family, it seemed like the tone would shift just to make them the comedic relief. And I wasn't really digging that part, but outside of that, they shine, man. When they team up, when they go like Raph, Mike, and Damian, or when you got Leo and Batman, when you have these team ups and they go off on their own in Arkham, which we'll talk about in a second, it does shine. And this movie is well worth the wait and well worth watching. Now, with that said, you know, before the whole Arkham thing, we have cool stuff like the fight between the Turtles and Batman, like when they first see each other, because you have these nice little touches like Michelangelo always talking about how weird Gotham is, like all of the blimps and everything. You have him making comments about the bad guys and how just weird Gotham is as a whole, from their sewers to what's in the sky. And then when they see the Batmobile, they go crazy. But of course, them versus Batman is essentially how you'd expect it to go. You know what I'm saying? They're teenagers. So it would essentially be like seeing kind of like Batgirl or Tim Drake trying to fight Batman. You know what I'm saying? It's like they got some skills, but pump your brakes. So another dope part is Donatello figuring out where the Batcave is. Like, dude did it mad easy. And like Batgirl was like, how'd you? He was like, oh, well, you know, I just figured this is where Batman, you know, all the places he's been seen, triangulated that. We swam up. Here we are. And he just made it seem so simple that it's like, why didn't the bad guy do that? But it was real cool. And I think these small, once again, these small touches like the Superman mug that that Alfred gives to Bruce, and so, like all those little touches are just fun. They're fun and they add to the enjoyment of this film. Now to get to the main plot of this, you know, of course, Roz is like, look, I want to use the ooze. I want to use the mutagen to mess up the whole town of Gotham. And I don't know, Gothamites do, yo, y'all need to just move. Like, just move to somewhere else. Like, Star City or something, I don't know. Just move, like, Gothamites be catching it, man. And they got, like, the most brutal villains. Like, you need to go somewhere where villains ain't that bad. But, you know, he wants to, you know, kind of, like, mutagenate. Right, yeah, I said it. The whole, you know, the whole populace of Gotham. Yo, leave Gotham alone. You can't do nothing to nobody else. But anyway, this plan not only works well, but it's it makes sense to what Roz wants to do and what Shredder wants to do in a way where it's like, yeah, I can ride with that. But their biggest mistake was linking up with your boy Joker and Arkham. I won't give away too much because I do want us to have stuff to talk about down below. But I'll say this, between the villains, between the fight at Arkham, between the final fight at the very end, the team ups, the laughs, even some of the stuff that I'm like, I don't know if this works for me. The nice small touches, you put all this together, this movie for me is straight up 4 stars. That's right. Raph and Bruce teaming up, going head to head, talking together, working out each other's issues over family and teammates. The cars riding together. You got the turtle van and the Batmobile. You got when Batman tells Michelangelo to press all the buttons in the Batmobile. All those, like, all these fun moments that's just like, this movie is a culmination of the stuff you would do as a kid when you had turtles and Batman toys. It works. It works a lot. And besides the fact that I think that they play my boys, you know, a little bit low with the comedy too much because, you know, I love my turtles. You know what I'm saying? I think this movie is definitely worth your time. Holla at me. I'm going to holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about turtles, yo. From Batman saying cowabunga to Alfred ordering pizza to Michelangelo giving Alfred his skateboard because he, you know, he's showing him some respect. There's so much fun. And the end credits are the bomb too. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to Super Joker Shredder, maybe. Oh yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of Talk Shop. That's right, we're getting into comics today. You know, we've been having a good time with them TV shows, with them movies. But we gotta keep our head in them books. You know what I'm saying? If we learned anything from Shaquille O'Neal, is that you gotta read. So, with that said, today I figured, why not play around with time? Why not see what went on in the past? Why not see if we can save the future? And I'm talking about retcon. And full disclosure, I like this book. Here's why. The art is on point. This is a book that comes to us from 133 Art. I was the one, full disclosure, shot the video for the Kickstarter video. It was successful, all that good stuff. Great, but I was like, oh, I know the artist, so the art should be on point. And I really enjoy it. I really dig it. Whether it's with action, whether it's dealing with someone in a certain hypnotic state, whether it's dealing with someone being released back into their regular world, regular time, whether it's dealing with multiple subjects on camera or on screen or on page, this art seems to just fit very well and it strikes a very good balance between being realistic and being like, you know, kind of edgy, cartoony and fun to look at and very colorful. So when you add that with this world that deals with going in the past and breaking the past to save the future, you have this kind of very serious, but with a little bit of levity added into it due to the way that it's drawn. And I really dig that. Speaking of the way we draw it and the way we experience it, I've got to get into the main point of this book. There's like 2 main points. Before the jump, we'll deal with Germany. When we jump into this book, you know, we're going back in the past and we're dealing with assassinating your boy Hitler. And just the way we go through the action role, just the way it's set up, it has a very Bond feel, a very like kind of like secret espionage quality added on to time travel. And I really, really dig that, man. I had a lot of fun with changing between English and English and German. Also dealing with, you know, who is really who, you know, when we deal with the mask and all that good stuff. And also dealing with allies and, you know, people that are not too friendly to you. We have explosions, we have all kinds of action. And the way they handled the situation in Germany and why it happened is very interesting, which is how time travel is handled in this book. You know, every kind of mythology handles it differently, whether we're dealing with, like, you know, Terminator or Time Cop or, you know, what, or our most recent Endgame. You know, time travel is always handled differently. Here, I like how you have this kind of painful transition, this painful trip, this painful journey, and it's not just, we can just pop in and pop out, however. And there's a re-entry process, which I think adds a lot into these slingshotters that are going through time and changing these things. I think it's really cool to see how it affects each agent and maybe how long they can do it, how many times they can do it, and if they want to continue doing it. And right before the jump, that's what I think I'll say about the recovery process and Pandora, who has kind of like does the intake of these agents, which is just done very well. It's done in a very realistic way where you would have someone that's kind of like a therapist, like seeing how you feel, what's your physical like, what's your emotional state like, what's your physiology, and it just grounds it very well. So on top of the art being on point, I like the way they built this process of time travel that just, it just nails it for me, and it's really fun. Now, we got some great stuff to get to after the jump, especially when it comes to world building. But first, of course, Kuro Brands gonna help us pay them bills. Yeah, check the link below, hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. Once you find something you like, of course, cop it. So let's get into the writing. The writing works for me because it's not extremely verbose. It's also not extremely explanatory for the sake of explanation. We get our information on the go. Also, they frame these situations and our interactions between our agent and Pandora to where he's receiving the information as we receive it. So it doesn't seem like it's just a task we have to do to get through. And in doing that, not only do I like the writing and how they pace it with our dialogue, but I like the world that they built. We talk about this world where China was, you know, trying to get time travel right, and then India got it, and then everybody was trying to out-time travel each other and change things so they could be on top, whether it was the US government or the British government or the Indian government, whatever. And it seems very likely, like something like that would happen, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, America would go back in time, and then, you know, like, I don't know, like Brazil be like, oh no, you ain't, you know what I'm saying? We gonna go back in time. And then Russia be like, nuh-uh, we gonna go back in time. And as they go back in time, seeing things change and get disrupted and civilizations disappear and then reappear. And so much so that time is almost broken and people have to go back and break things intentionally to try to fix it. And you have this crazy world that we build where it's very, due to what's going on in politics, or what has gone on in politics, it seems very feasible. If this, you know, if this technology was out around right now and all governments had access to it, this is the type of stuff that we'd probably be dealing with. And it handles it in such a cool way that I'm immediately sucked in. So why do I like this? We have great art, we have cool writing, a great mythology around the time travel and how you do it itself, and a time war. I mean, bruh, just the sheer idea of a time war is super cool to me. even visualizing some of how they did it in the book, where things were disappearing and reappearing as, like, say, you know, Russia went back, or Korea went back, or US went back, or Mexico went back, whoever, or Canada or China or whatever, and seeing things reappear and disappear and people and whole civilizations, that's just cool. I really want to see more of the Time War, and I think that's dope. The art is on point, and also when we get to the very end of this book, where we have this tease of, like, yo, we've just barely scratched the surface, we've barely begun. I'm definitely down with going on this journey to see, can we fix time? Can we? Or is it just broke? Is it, are we all screwed? You know, is there a fixed point where we can't go past? You know, all of these things where they kind of handle how time is similar to the synapses in your brain. Some are intertwined, some are not, and some are fixed points, and some can't be broken, blah, blah, blah. And seeing our slingshotters deal with this, it's something that I think will be a lot of fun. So guys, holla at me, I'm holla at you. Down in the comments, let's talk about Retcon. Have you read it already? Are you getting into it? If you haven't, the link is below so you can check it out. But I'm in. But if you have it, like, right, sorry, here, it's,
'cause it's New 52, those suck anyway.
New 52 doesn't...
New 52 sucks.
Not all of it sucks. 'Cause then the Batgirl from New 52 was dope.
Gordon? Barbara Gordon?
Yeah, because they did her as if she was like a teenager, right?
I can't stand Barbara Gordon.
You don't
like... I don't like Batgirl at all. You don't, I've like... never liked that character.
I thought that was a good run. Okay. Never mind.
I cannot stand. More so probably because they wrecked time my Dick and Corey for that relationship.
Oh.
They made her younger so that she could get with Grayson. And it was like, she used to be older than him. She was messing with
was
Batman.
She was
mad
older.
What is going on here? Screw that character.
They did nullify that relationship and just kind of like...
Although I think it's coming back. I think, I mean, well, we're getting live action. We're getting Dick and Corey in live action.
Well, technically it's already... They've already had a...
But, you know, relationship. They got to get to that point.
They had a little love already.
Yeah. But then it seems like in DC's Young Justice, they're doing Oracle, which is Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, and Grayson.
Yo, Corey fried that dude in broad daylight.
It was great. She's awesome.
Yo,
in
she
the live
fried
action.
That guy. It won't even, like, you know, let me burn him a little bit. No,
I
that
love
dude
it.
Was
but, you know,
a husk.
That's so close to her comic book thing of her just killing people and being like, look.
But
this
it's just
war.
A trip because I was just like, yo, she is not playing games.
Because
she gave everybody else so many problems. She was just like, yeah, I'm gonna just burn you up real quick.
Yeah.
And Lois being a Ma Dukes. Seriously, Lois and Alfred are the stay-at-home parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I remember seeing some pages from Super Sons, and I was like, this is nice.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's nice to have just a book that's just like, you know what? You know, like, everything's not at stake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I dip in when there's something like The Metal Story or the Darkest Night. Well, because The Darkest Night has like a fuller set.
Right.
Essentially, the Red Ring story to the Darkest Night story to the White Knight story, all that.
Yeah.
But I like that because it drew in like the whole wealth of the lanterns and all that.
Well,
it was crazy.
What's killing me is that DC is putting attention into those places, but they're not putting marketing into those places.
Yeah,
because some of the best books some of the books I've loved from DC have been the Hanna-Barbera crossovers.
Yeah,
like Booster Gold meets the Flintstones was genius. And Booster Gold meets the Scooby Gang. Genius.
Booster Gold is just
He's my dude. He's one of my dudes. You might think that, but he's like Jackie Chan in Drunken Boxing.
He's just a doofus.
You know.
But at the same time, he makes absolute sense. If you had superpowers, so maybe not everyone, but some people be like, how can I make a buck out of this?
He doesn't have superpowers.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. He doesn't.
He's got gear.
Yeah.
But stolen gear.
If you were a hero.
Yeah.
You'd be like, how can I make a buck out of this?
Well, not just how I can make a buck, but he makes it very clear, and this is something that somebody's had to point out about DC for a long time.
Okay.
Most of the superheroes in DC are millionaires, at least.
Yeah, there's a lot of... And someone
made
a statement about like all the money that like these heroes have, like between like Oliver and Bruce and stuff, like y'all could stop crime with money. Like you, because crime is mostly due to like
lack of resources
yeah. and or poverty.
Yeah.
Well, you could change the state of poverty
between
that's a whole other thing.
Between Wayne Tech,
yeah,
Queen Tech,
yeah,
Cord Tech,
yeah,
LexCorp.
You can change the dynamic of like food shortages around the world. You can do, but they're like, I must protect my city. anyway.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, hey, Batman, you really want to help Gotham? Let's talk college debt forgiveness.
Yeah, it's like, you really want to help
you
Gotham?
You should really buy, well, he can't buy the Narrows because like buying a neighborhood is more money than he has. But you know what?
I don't know, man.
No, really.
They present him like it's endless. Like it's just a water faucet you turn on.
It ain't quite like that.
like that's how they present him. It's like
he was a billionaire a long time ago. So he's up there with like Jeff Bezos money. He's up there he's up there with like the owner of Amazon and Elon Musk. He's got that kind of money. Okay. And the thing is, buying, like if he were to buy part of Gotham City and just totally revitalize it, not gentrify it.
Yeah, not
but
gentrify it.
Fix the slums, like own all the buildings. Fix the slums and let people live there for free, it would take about 70% of his fortune just to get like five blocks.
Well, I mean, the Narrows have got to be cheap because the property value went down. It's like Detroit now.
The houses there, yes. But like, I can show you malls that honestly would cost $2 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, money don't mean as much as it used to. Yeah.
But anyway.
But yeah, so that's the thing. But again, college debt forgiveness, Kurt, if Lex Luthor really wanted to win hearts and minds of Metropolis, he'd be like, guess what? I bought that university with LexCorp.
Yeah.
And if you've got a GPA of 2.4 or higher in high school, you are accepted and you have a scholarship. And we pay our professors $4 million a year each.
Yeah, you
gonna get a good education.
Yeah, it's, man.
And then you're gonna work for LexCorp, and in 20 years, I will own you all. You know what I mean? Seriously. I'm a bad guy. Not that I'm a villain. Yeah. I'm just saying, if I were with Lex kind of money.
That's the long-term play he would do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He'd probably do something funny with like the flu shots on campus.
And you know what's
he'd
really
do something?
No. He would do exactly that. You know why? Because the only way to take him down from doing that is to do it better.
Clark ain't got that cash.
Yeah. So now you've got Wayne Tech competing with LexCorp as to who can give people a better free education and a better standard of winning. Oh no!
So bad. There's so many problems in the DC.
Oh yeah, really.
That's right. Talk shop. We're getting into comics, and this is a book that I saw the first issue and I was like, this joint is kinda up my alley. We had some fun, we had some futuristic, you know, vibes and spaceships and stuff. We had throwbacks to the past down in Louisiana. We had all kinds of supernatural entities. And now we're getting into issue two of Mind to Avenge, Book of Layla. And straight off, what I love about this book and how it begins is it starts by kind of expanding the lore. We open this book up immediately talking about the different, I guess, tiers of monsters, the different houses of monsters, the different families, the people that are at the head of their, I guess you could say, respective monster style. You know, you got the lupines, you got some demon looking, you got some vampire folks, and of course the Lalauries are at the top. But in this conversation, in this discussion about what they're going to do with the very last, you know, the very last in the line of, you know, long line of hunters, you get a lot of subtext. You get a lot of interesting back and forth and seeing where alliances lie and where they don't. And the cool thing in this whole discussion and scene is you get to find out that there is no love lost. You also get to find out that there is definitely no, and I mean no, honor amongst these thieves. Well, technically not thieves. They're like crazy, you know, monsters that just want human blood or either want human slaves. But the bottom line is you can see right here that the Loloris do not play, you know, from way back in the past in like 1854 to even now in 2154, I believe, you're still looking at a family that is, they rule with a iron fist and they mean it. Now with that said, right before the jump, I'm gonna throw to the writing real quick. One thing that I like about this book and especially this scene, how it's handled, sometimes you just have to give exposition. Sometimes you just got to. And you can find creative ways to do it. And I think in a scene like this, where you have this discussion between these bickering slash warring slash factions that don't super get along with each other, you splice it with a little bit of action, AKA crazy violence. You get to learn not only the relationships interpersonally between all of these people, but you also get to figure out who's the big dog in the room, like who's front and who's not. And I think that is a cool way to kind of deliver all the information to us. Now, we got some cool stuff to get to after the jump, but first, Kuro Brand's gonna help us pay them bills. Oh yeah, check the link below, hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. Now let's talk about this whole Layla thing, the Book of Layla, the line of Leah. We get to see the past. We get to see where Leah, kind of how her story continued, because this book continues to tell a story now in the present slash future, and also way, way deep in the past. And in issue number one, we finally get to name this young girl. Her name is Leah. And we see that the Loloris not only enslaved black people, but they were, you know, experimenting on them. They were, you know, just completely using them for whatever, for blood, for food, for experiments, everything. And in this issue, we see where she kind of stepped her game up as a hunter, you know what I'm saying? And in stepping her game up, you know, she got some fire, you know what I'm saying? She is not pleased with what happened and she wants to strike back fast. And the thing that I dig about this is that we get to see where the line of Leah kind of started, how it progressed, at least to this point. We might not get anything between issue one and two, how, you know, she, you know, was found and then where she got trained. But this is a good stopping point to figure out who she is, what she's going to be, and how she became kind of like the first in her line. But flash to the future, we get some cool action. Straight up, Layla, you know, she's out there, she has the jetpack, and she's just zooming through this huge city called the Republic of York. It's essentially New York, and it's just cool. And I like that they give us this type of scene inside of this book, because you get your exposition, you get your kind of like your gore, you get your past, your history, and then you sometimes just to get have fun with this flight through the city that is just extremely cool. And before I jump into the art, I'll just say that the thing that makes this so cool is how this issue is paced. It's paced at a very good, like at a very good speed where you're not falling too far into horror, you're not falling too far into action, but you're continuing to tell this story and drive it along with getting your history and getting your, it's kind of like effects on the now. And I really dig that. Now, on the art side, this thing shines. From the horror side to the action, I mean, there's a fight in a warehouse that goes down, and it is super cool. We also get to see our folks, I believe, Pyra and Travis from the first issue in this joint, trying to, you know, kind of recruit Layla, be like, yo, look, some stuff is going down. We need your help. You know you don't like them folks, but look, hey, we need your help. But within this, just the art, the way they pull off the angles, the way they handle the action is extremely fresh. And you match that with the story that's already up my alley with some great supernatural stuff, I am so on board. So from 1833 to 2154, where they were hunting down monsters at a mansion, we're having a straight up gunfight at the warehouse. We're looking at the cabal of bad guys kind of essentially turn on each other. This book works for me. If you're digging supernatural action, supernatural horror mixed together and a lot of cool history, man, Mind to Avenge is becoming a very fun read because we have a lot of action to get into and we have a lot of history that supports that action. We've got some great writing and some really cool art. So guys, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk Mind to Avenge. Hopefully you're digging it. If you haven't picked it up, there's some links down below. Pick it up. And until next time, I'm gonna tell you guys to holla at thatnerdsoul.com. That's right. Check me out right there. All my videos from the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up the shop. thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt player. Don't forget to get one for them players. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right. There's no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. So LA, what up? VA, what up? RBA, you got my heart. And please be good to yourselves. Please be good to each other. And remember, whenever you're flying in high density traffic, watch your back. Peace.